But my name is Brian Drum. Today we are, I'm going to talk about change. You know, change happens, you know, that's just part of life. Nothing stunning or about that statement. I think most of us like our routines. I think if we're honest with ourselves, most of us like waking up knowing what to expect, knowing what that day holds. You know, we like our routines, we kind of like our comfort zones. And I mean, not saying we don't like adventure once in a while, but I think most of us, by nature, you know, kind of like what we get used to. But like it or not, things change. Some changes are small and minor changes, and some are bigger, some are more major. Some are good changes that bring about blessings. Some changes are tragic and scary, and they're hard to get through, to weather some changes. But changes is a part of life. Don't have to tell this congregation that. We are meeting in an elementary school gymnasium. All right? So change happens. We drove by the other building yesterday, and I was excited that there was walls and stuff up. I was like, wow, I thought I'd drive by and see a hole in the ground. But you guys have come a long way. So change is happening, and change, it can be exciting. It can be scary, but it's going to happen. Our babies don't stay babies because things change. Our bodies, unfortunately, don't stay 21 years old. They change. That smartphone you have is already obsolete because things change. Change changes things. But the question I want to look at today is, does God change? And because we live in a world that's full of change. Change is something we can't get away from, but does God change? So I want us to look at that question, because it's kind of one of those. I think God loves to live in paradox. There's so many things about God that just seem to be, I want you to love your enemies. That doesn't make sense. You know, I want you, so much about God, just, I think he loves to live in this world of keeping us on our toes. And does God change? That's kind of a loaded question too, because no, God never changes. Let's look at some verses. And the first slide is from Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to do some flipping in my Bible so I don't have to turn my back to you. But Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So Jesus Christ has been, the Bible tells us in the beginning he was there. He's never not been. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's great. Well, let's say this together. This is a great verse. All right, could you guys read this with me? Jesus Christ, same yesterday. And we're going to do it one more like we really mean it, okay? Jesus Christ is. So he's the what? He's the same. So does God change? He's the same. So there's our answer. Let's look at James. The next slide is from James chapter 1, verse 17. Right. James writes this, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So we have Jesus, the same. We have the Father, who does not change. So does God change? No, he does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's go back to the Old Testament, see if the Old Testament God is the same as what we find in the New Testament. So we're going to go to Malachi. Chapter 3, verse 6. I, the Lord, do not change. All right, so let's pray, and we're done, right? So that's the answer to our question. Does God change? No, he does not change. So God is the same. He is constant. He is steady. God, he's never had a beginning. He'll never have an end. He's not dependent on anything. Outside influences are not going to change God. He's constant. He can't be improved. God's not going to be a better God tomorrow than he is right now. He doesn't change. He is the absolute standard of the things that he is. He is love. If you want a definition of love, it is God. It doesn't change. You want a definition of truth, he is truth. So it's clear that God does not change. So we're going to go to the next slide. So God doesn't change. As you see, God is... Wait a minute. Are those my slides? I'm sorry, I'm really confused. God, go ahead to the next slide. I really confused him and made him scared. Sorry. All right. God is constantly changing. Well, okay. Wait a minute. All right. We just firmly established through God's word that God does not change. So where in the world are we going? All right. Let's see. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Well, turn to. Or look up at the screen. Find me. All right. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. That verse is all about change. The new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. God doesn't change because he's constantly changing the world around him. He's constantly changing hearts. He's constantly changing lives. He's constantly changing circumstances. So, Ezekiel. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. So God, this unchanging God, is in the business of changing things. That's the paradox. God doesn't change, but he is constantly changing our circumstances. He's changing hearts. He's changing life. That's his desire for you. His desire for me is to change us into the people that we were meant to be. So while God's character and his nature don't change, he's forever true. He is love. He is not capable of doing anything outside of love because he is love. God is truth. He cannot lie because he's truth. He is mercy. He's goodness. He's kindness. Those things in his character don't change. But at the same time, that unchanging God is molding, shaping, changing things. And when we pray, we're asking that unchanging God to step in and change things, to change our circumstances, to change the heart of someone who's lost, to change the struggles that we're going through. We're asking him to step in, to intervene, to be a changing God, a God that changes things. To look at this balancing act, this unchanging God who changes things, I want us to look at the life of Moses. And so we're going to look at the life of Moses and... So it's going to go a snapshot. Hopefully, a lot of you are familiar with that. I don't want to assume that everybody knows the story of Moses, but it didn't happen exactly like this. The Israelites are living in Egypt, and this is in the book of Exodus. They're living in Egypt, and they're living in slavery. The Egyptians have enslaved them. They're being forced to a hard labor, a hard existence, living in Egypt under the authority of the Egyptians. And the Pharaoh is getting nervous about the numbers of Israelites. He's afraid there's going to be an uprising. There's going to be a revolt. They're going to rise up against and try to overthrow them. So they're going around killing the male-born Israelites that are born. And so to escape this, to save her child, Moses' mother puts him in a basket and puts him in a river. Now, as a disclaimer, this is not good parenting advice. So I don't care what you're going through with your child. The Bible is not recommending this strategy, but it worked in that situation. Put the baby in a basket. She's found by Pharaoh's daughter. Raised. It's a weird way God works out. God raised by his mother until he gets to a certain age, and then raised in the palace as royalty with Pharaoh's daughter. And as he's older, he's walking through and he's seeing the brutality, and he's seeing an Egyptian beating in a Hebrew slave, and he steps in, intervenes, and ends up killing the Egyptian. And long story short, he is up on the run. He flees Egypt. He goes out. He's out in the wilderness. ends up getting married, ends up working with his father-in-law, for his father-in-law, and he's out in the field. He's out in the wilderness. He's tending sheep, and he sees this sight, this bush that is burning. It's on fire, but it's not burning up. So Moses already has gone through a lot of change in his circumstances in his life. I mean, going from, you know, the baby of an enslaved people to a palace to on the run to married, settling down to wandering around to encountering God. And I think the next slide is a video that is not going to cooperate with us. And I think that's the first. That's the. This might be the second. Did they give you two videos or just one? Yeah, we're going to say that with this one. So I'm sorry. It's going to awkwardness. All right. So if we can skip that next slide and go to the next one. All right. There we go. All right. So it was just a video clip of. Have you seen the movie Prince of Egypt? Kind of old school animated Moses stuff. It was just a clip from that of this that we're going to talk about. So you're not. If you're missing it, go watch it, and you won't miss it. All right. God he encounters this bush, and it's burning, and I'm just going to read it to you. Now Moses, this is from Exodus 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. He led the flock to the far side of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone and to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. He said, do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. All right. So let's look at this. God encounters Moses through this burning bush. So we have an unchanging God that's already showing that even though he's unchanging, he's not predictable. How many times does God speak to somebody through a burning bush? Once. So God changes how he does things, even though he doesn't change. He's changing how he works and moves in this action and somebody else's experience with God. God doesn't always work and act the same way. And so here we have a burning bush talking to Moses. And the first thing he says is, take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. Holiness. I just want to talk a few minutes about holiness. This sermon was almost about holiness. It's something I like to talk about because it's something I think we lose track of in our very honest desire to make God the loving, compassionate friend that we need. Sometimes we water down his holiness a little too much, and you got to find that balance. And the word holy means set apart. The word holy, it's something that is set apart. It's unique. It's different. It's set apart. It's not the best thing in its category. It is its category. All right. There is nothing else like a holy God. God isn't the best in his category. He is the category. Holy is this idea of being set apart. I just find it interesting. There's when you look at Jewish religious culture and the scribes and how they would, if they were they're copying these manuscripts and they come to the special name of God that we're going to talk about a little bit later. They had to ceremonially clean themselves. They had to go and wash and do everything a certain way before they would even write down the name. And then they would get a brand new quill that had never been used before to write that name of God because it was holy. It was special. It deserved all that special treatment. And even now, if you go to some Jewish websites, if not all of them, but many of them still will, even in English, for God, if they're talking about God, there'll be a G, and then a line, and then a D. They won't type the name God because, in their view, you might print that page off on your printer, and you might have the name of God right there on a piece of paper. Then you might decide you're done with that piece of paper, and you might crumple it up and throw it away and you just threw away the name of God. And so it's so holy. I mean, I'm not saying that we go that far, but it just interests me so much to have that value in that. That you would go through that because God's name is so holy. So this holy God is approaching Moses. Take off your sandals. I'm holy when you approach me. Then we have this verse here. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out, and I am concerned about their suffering. I love this. An unchanging God. He sees what's going on. He saw them then, and he sees us now. So on the next slide, I think we got that. God sees us. He's not absent. And those moments where we think that we are on our own, that God's not around, he is. He sees what we're going through. God hears us. He hears us in our prayers. When we pray to him, he hears. And it's even more than that. The Bible says that Jesus is at the right hand of God. That he is interceding on our behalf. So not only does God hear your prayers, but Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding for us. And not only just that, the Bible says, and I love this, this gives me chills every time I think about it. The Bible says that even when we don't know what to pray, we don't have the words to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf to God. So God hears our prayers. He hears Jesus interceding on our behalf. And when we don't even know how to pray, the Holy Spirit is praying and God hears. An unchanging God will always see, always hear, and always cares. He says, I've seen what they're going through in Egypt. I've heard their cries, I've heard their prayers, and I'm concerned. I want to do something about it. God cares today, too. These things, that unchanging God, it's true then, it's true now. So God wants to do something. This unchanging God is going to change things for the Israelites. But they're not going to wake up one day and be free. God wants to use Moses to bring about change. And so they go through this exchange in the Bible, and it's Moses is given excuses for why he shouldn't be the person that brings about change. And God's trying to convince him that he is. And one of the things he says is, I don't know, what do I say when they say, who are you? Like, I'm going to Pharaoh. They have all these other weird Egyptian gods. When I'm going to Pharaoh and they say, well, who's God? Who's sending you? What should I say? And that's where we see this name of God. And our English word is Yahweh. And that's our best guess. I think it's the next slide. Hebrew doesn't have any vowels, so just a little, try not to bore you, but a little history or whatever. So our best guess is that we say Yahweh, we throw some vowels in there, but that's that name of God. But the best translation is, I am that I am. So what is the name of God? I am. Talk about unchanging. He's not like, the God that's the God I was, that's the God I will be. He is in every moment the I am. He's in every moment the constant. He doesn't change who he is. He is Yahweh. He is the I am. When we look at change happens. Change changes things. Sometimes God changes our outside circumstances. So an unchanging God sees, hears, cares for us, will sometimes step in and change our circumstances. Sometimes the cancer is gone. You get the report back from the doctor, and it's a miracle, and you can't believe it, and you celebrate, and you praise God, because sometimes God steps in and changes our circumstances. Sometimes, the couple that has been trying to have that baby, and they try and try, and then the blessing finally comes. God has stepped in and changed things. Maybe in ways we'll never know. Don't you know if you've been in a situation where, every red light, seriously, stop to every dumb red light, what is up? And then you get to where the accident is, and you start thinking back through the timeline and wondering where you would have been if those stupid red lights weren't red. So I think there's times in our lives where we don't even know how God is interacting. You laughing at me? Because I said stupid? All right. All right. So sometimes God steps in and changes our circumstances. There was this boy once. He was a young boy, loved baseball. He loved watching baseball on TV and loved rooting for his teams and loved playing baseball. But he lived out in the country and didn't have any brothers or sisters, so kind of hard to play baseball with one person. But he was out there, out in the backyard. He had his ball and he had his bat ready to play some, just to kind of mess around. And he had a good imagination, only child out in the country. It wasn't just messing around. He was into the moment. You know, he's like, okay, bottom of the ninth, you know, tie score, bases loaded, two outs, best hitter on the team, up to bat. Okay. So he throws the ball up in the air and he swings and he misses it. Strike one. So he picks up the ball, kind of looks at it, gets the bat ready. All right, I am, psyching himself up, the best hitter in the league. Best hitter in the league, best hitter in the world. This is my time. All right, so he throws the ball up, swings. The ball falls. Strike two. Picks up the ball, gives it another glare. All right, two strikes. I am the best hitter in the world. Throws the ball up, swings, misses. Strike three. Picks up the ball. I'm the best pitcher in the world. So sometimes we got to change our perspective, because sometimes our circumstances don't change, but it's amazing what a different perspective can be on a problem. And sometimes God works in our hearts to change our perspective instead of working on the outside, changing our circumstances. Sometimes God changes our perspective and how we look at things, how we look at that person. This comes against us. How we look at a situation around us, a hardship that we're struggling with. Sometimes the change has to happen in here. And God, in his wisdom, knows when to change here and when to change here. And sometimes, the third one is, sometimes he changes us in the same way he did Moses so that we can change our circumstances. And that's my prayer for this church, that God would be working in you to change the world. Not just this church, not just this community, but to change the world. Sometimes God changes our perspective so that he can use us to change the world, molding us, shaping us into who we want to be. To close, I want to talk about a girl that I met. We met. We were on I think the next slide is a picture, hopefully, if I didn't forget a slide. Yes. All right. So a girl named Mandy Harvey. You may not recognize her name. In a second, you might recognize her story. It might ring familiar. But we met her. She is a singer. She is a sister in Christ. Her father is a professor at Johnson University. And she was on America's Got Talent. So if you've watched that show, or if maybe you've seen a video on Facebook, you'll probably recognize the clip when we get to it. But she had to go through some tough changes. And she had to decide how God was going to work in her and use her through those changes. So if we have that video, she's a sweet, sweet, funny, but I thought a video would tell the story a little better.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
And what's your name?
Mandy Harvey.
And who's this?
My interpreter.
What's your name?
Sarah.
Nice to meet you, Sarah.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Hi, Sarah.
Doing well, thank you. Hello.
Okay, Mandy, so I think I've worked this out. So you're deaf?
Yes, I lost all my hearing when I was 18 years old.
Wow. And how old are you now?
29. So it's 10 years.
Wow. And Mandy, how did you lose your hearing, if you don't mind me asking?
I have a connective tissue disorder, so basically I got sick and my nerves deteriorated.
So you were singing before you lost your hearing?
Yeah, I've been singing since I was four. So I left music after I lost my hearing and then figured out how to get back into singing with muscle memory, using visual tuners and trusting my pitch.
So your shoes are off because you're feeling the vibration. Is that how you're following the music?
Yeah, I'm feeling the tempo, the beat through the floor.
And Mandy, what are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing a song that I wrote called Try.
Okay, can you tell me what it's about?
After I lost my hearing, I gave up. But I want to do more with my life than just give up. So.
Good for you.
Okay, well, look, this is your moment, and good luck.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to need a translator for this.
So it was so cool that our youth group got to meet her. And such a there's so more to her story that about how God worked that you know ABC, I guess ABC, whoever, you know, cut out because that's what TV networks do. But great girl, great story and. Just thought of her and meeting her when I was thinking about change and how sometimes that change is outside affecting us and sometimes that change is inside. So I'm going to close the day with just to wrap things up. Somebody here today needs reminded that God doesn't change. I don't know what you're going through, but somebody here needs to realize that, you know, that God that got you through that thing back then, that really hard thing that God got you through it, he'll get you through this thing too. He hasn't changed any. It's the same God. And he'll get you through. He hasn't changed. He's not like the shadows. He's not like the wind. He's constant. And he is going to be there for you now like he was then. You can rely on him today, tomorrow. God doesn't change. But somebody here needs to also be reminded that even though God doesn't change, he's changing things. The situation you're in now, you're not stuck in. God is a God who changes things. That the habits you're struggling with, the addiction you're struggling with, the situation that life has thrown at you, you're not stuck there. An unchanging God wants to change your circumstances. He wants to change your heart. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to go to our closing song. But I just want to thank you for allowing me to be here. And hopefully you got some encouragement this morning. Let's pray. Oh God, we praise you that you are holy and set apart. Set apart from all our struggles and problems and weaknesses, all our dilemmas. You are set apart. You are holy. You see us, you hear us, you care about us, and you take your power, you take your love, and you reach out. And you're with us through the changes that we go through. Because life is full of changes. Good, bad, big, small. We thank you that you are God through it all. We love you. Just help us to always know that you are. And you always will be. In your son's name I pray. Amen.